Another moment of celebration today. In 2 weeks' time, we will have another new family in our midst. This time, it'll be Mr. and Mrs. Hemsworth. So if they'd like to join me. And David and Esther, if you want to come as well. 2 weeks yesterday, so the 8th of August. Come and stand in the middle. Come this way. These two get married. And they would really love it if as many of you as possible could join them. They're in here at 1:30. Can't get the details right. 1:30 on the 8th of August when they will be walking down the aisle of Ashwood Church, which will be different since the aisle isn't quite an aisle here, is it? But it will be for them, I'm sure. we're going to take this moment to pray for them and bless them. And if you've got things you want to pray for, you do it at the end of the meeting when we're having coffee. I'm sure they'd be blessed. Or send them an email or write them a card. Put in any thoughts you've got. That would be great. Am I handing over to you, David?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, we're just excited as God's family to pray for you this morning. There's something so powerful and special about God's children coming together in marriage, and we get really blessed by that. And when I was been praying for you earlier in this week, I just felt that God was saying that He is going to make this a marriage of significance, He's going to draw people to you as a married couple that and do things through you and through your marriage that is going to be significant in the kingdom of God. And I was just reminded of David when he was chosen by God, and even though he felt like the smallest and the lowliest and the maybe the least significant in the family, that didn't matter. That was just a worldly view and a worldly perspective. I just want to prophesy over you this morning that over your marriage that despite what you might feel about going into marriage, you know, you might be thinking this is a great step, a great start, and it is, it's all of that, but don't lose sight of the fact that God is going to do something really significant because of your marriage, something that only you two can do, that He's putting on you. And even though you might feel at this moment in time, well, we're just little old us, literally, no. God is going to make you giants for the kingdom of God. And we're just excited to pray that over you this morning. So, Father, I just pray that you would that you would release this couple in their marriage, that as they step out on an exciting new journey and all the excitement that brings, I pray that for a real significant impact that they will make because of their marriage. And, Lord, I just pray that you would bless them. I pray that the day itself would just be amazing. I pray that they would look back on that as the start of an amazing adventure and an amazing journey. And I pray for real blessing over them and their life and their household and everything that comes with it. Lord, we just want to bless them this morning and pray that you would release all that you want to release in them. In the name of Jesus.
Father, I thank you for Amy and Jono. I thank you that we can look to them as an example of what you can give to us. They found each other, they love each other, and they're prepared to spend the rest of their lives with each other. And I thank you that they have such great love for each other. And they also love you. And I pray that in their marriage, it wouldn't just be them two, it would be you. You at the centre, Lord. You at the centre. And it says in Hebrews that you ask us to honour marriage because it's God's purpose, and it's the purpose of their lives that they're now joined in, well, in 2 weeks' time that they'll be joined as man and wife. And we're excited, and I pray that as family and friends we will honour their marriage, honour their new lives together, but they would also honour each other and honour you. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I worked at Ripley for the council there, the registrar signed made up the register in a special kind of ink. It wasn't any old Parker or Schaefer ink. It was an ink that came from especially from London. It didn't fade. It couldn't be rubbed out. It was there forever. With Jesus at the centre of your marriage, there'll be an indelible mark that can't be rubbed out, that will never fade, and that no one can destroy.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you very much, Dave, Nesta, and Johnny, Jono, and Amy. It's brilliant. Okay, yeah. Do pray for them and Owen and Rachel as they get married the week after. Okay, kids, it's time for you to go and have an exciting morning with Dave and Christine, I think. Yeah. Do you want to come out and let's send you on your way? Turn around, Grace. That's it. Let everybody see this beautiful smiley face. There's usually very good smiley faces up here. They're a little shy this morning, I think, apart from Grace. Shall we just bless them? Father, we thank you for our children. Thank you that they are smiley, if not on the outside at this moment. There's lots of smiley children on the inside here. We pray that as they go, they won't just be smiling, but they'll be having a great time, but also discovering a little bit more about you and your nature and what you want to, how you want to bless them and encourage them. So look after them, we pray. Give them a good time. Amen. Off you go. You're all going with Dave and Christine this morning, so follow them and they'll show you what to do. Okay, it's time for the rest of you to have something a little different this morning. Lucy's coming, and she's going to be talking about To the Ends of the Earth. It's the third part of a series on our mission, but she's going to have some helpers this morning, so there'll be different voices to listen to, so get ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Lucy. Thank you for the heart she carries for the ends of the earth. And thank you for the folks that are going to help her this morning. We just pray that they will have peace, be able to communicate clearly, share their stories, but more importantly, share your heart, that we may pick up something fresh, that we may be encouraged not to sit back and let other people do mission, but actually we will be prepared to do mission right where we are today, tomorrow, this week, next week, as well as possibly in the future to the ends of the earth. So encourage Lucy and the others, I pray. Amen.
Good morning. So, part three of mission. Gary started us off and he talked from Matthew 28. Go and make followers of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to do all things I have told you, and I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. And Gary talked about our positioning ourselves with God, about us going, it being an action word. He talked about one of his illustrations right towards the end of his talk was about it wasn't just that he went to France as a missionary, but actually his life as a teacher, he was a missionary in that job, and he had to, was challenged in that because he had to do the unnormal. He had to say yes to God in situations, and in normally you don't give up a good job and go and live in France, although sounds quite nice. They're both like, you know. But it wasn't just in France that they were missionaries. They were missionaries in their lives here as well. Last week I talked from Acts 1 about you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I took the next bit where it said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? And asked, well, what are you looking at? Why are you standing here? What are you doing? What's your purpose of your life? Your witness at home, your witness in your workplaces or your school places or your shopping places or wherever you spend the majority of your life. Talked about going to Judea, to Samaria, to the places we don't like to go, we don't want to go, and are we a good witness when we have to be challenged in the places we have to go to and the things we have to do? And then Isaiah 49, I didn't know if I'd taken that slide out, sorry. Isaiah 49 says, Listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. And he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. Going to the ends of the earth. I read this funny little part. Some people had complained about holiday experiences. So somebody said, on my holiday to Goa in India, I was disgusted to find almost every restaurant served curry, and I don't like spicy food. Somebody else said, I'm writing to complain because the beach was too sandy. We had to clean everything when we got home. The place was filthy, full of sand. Somebody else said, nobody told us when we booked the holiday that there would be fish in the water, in the sea. And my children do not like fish, and so they weren't able to swim. Somebody else said, the brochure said there was a fully equipped kitchen, but, horror of horrors, there was no egg slicer in the kitchen drawers. I don't even know what an egg slicer is, to be honest, but I just thought that was funny. And then the last one, somebody wrote a complaint that said, it took us 9 hours to fly home from Jamaica to the UK, but it only took the Americans 3 hours to get home, and this seems most unfair. No, they are true, honestly. Going to the ends of the earth might mean we're in situations that put us out of our comfort zone, or put us into situations that seem very odd to us, like why we have to fly so much further. But I think Ashwood is a fantastic church in terms of mission. There's lots happening in terms of mission to the ends of the earth, influencing the ends of the earth. And so I've got a few examples. Vanessa, is Vanessa here today? Vanessa's husband a few weeks ago ran a long way. I've forgotten how long, 10 kilometres. Say that. We've already heard this morning, Martin and Carl. I passed you on the road yesterday. Yeah. Cycling up a hill. I was going to wave as I drove past, but I didn't. Heather. Is Heather in here? Oh, Heather's in. Nobody's in here. Heather, I don't know if you know, the shoeboxes that we send out at Christmas time, Heather spends all year preparing shoeboxes. So she buys little bits and she's knitting hats and scarves and gloves all through the year to get ready shoeboxes for Christmas. We have the food bank, we've got Make Lunch starting this week, we've got Heaven Sent, talk to Zoe about the mini ones, get the dates of the smaller Heaven Sents that we're doing. Mike and Joan, we've got Sam in Africa, Neil's in Albania for another week. Just feedback on that, Neil's gone out, in case you don't know, to Albania for 2 weeks. The first week he's been doing a kids camp with our friend Rachel and a team from King's Church at Arnold. And so they've done the camp this week. It was got up to 42 degrees. Oh yeah, if you want my sympathy, it's not there. But they had 18 kids make a decision and ask Jesus into their hearts and choose to start living for him. And they are all linked into churches so that they'll be followed up and carried on. That's brilliant, isn't it? There's just so many things that are going off. I'm sorry if you are involved in something and I haven't mentioned it. Sorry. Haven't you hair shaved? Oh, see, there's so many things, I don't know half of them. Next Saturday. So talk to Simon. I was thinking about, I was like, who does that? Because I'm not that brave to get my hair shaved off, although it would save me a lot of time. There's loads of things that are happening, and if I ask you, there's probably things that you're involved in or know about. And this morning we're going to have a few stories, and as I was asking people to be involved, I was aware that there's lots of stories about people who have done mission, short-term or long-term. And this does not discount anybody else's story, but this is just to give us a little flavour of some of the different mission stories that have been happening. One of the sad things, I think, is that as we were coming back to England, we talked to our kids and tried to prepare them for some of the things that would be different in some of the situations they would face. And one of the things we had to break to them, because we've read it in all the books and we've seen it in reality, is to say to them, you need to know people aren't going to be interested in your story. People don't want to know. They're not going to ask you questions. They're not going to be interested when you start to tell the story. You need to take advantage. If somebody does ask you about your life, about something that's happened, take that opportunity. But you need to know, in reality, nobody really wants to know. And Pam and Gary are nodding. And we've had to say this because we wanted them to be prepared. Not because, oh, look at us, we're awesome missionaries and we've got all these adventures and your stories don't count. But actually, to come back to another culture and to have lived in the life and to have those stories, there's lots of things you want to say. And it's quite sad that the reality is nobody does really want to know. So this morning is a chance to share some of the stories in little ways. And so my first person, who is very worried that she's got so much to say and hasn't got time to say it all, is Adrian. Does she look gorgeous? So don't stand too close to me, because I untied my trousers, my hair's estate, and Adrian's all beautiful. Okay, Adrian. So can you tell, I know you've done lots of different mission trips, but can you tell us about one, where you went? I'm just going to give you the microphone because I know you want to talk. Where you went, how long you went for, and then tell your story.
Okay, lunch will be served at, and we'll have evening meal at. Right, I started off and went to Uganda in 2008 with a team that I was doing sexual health education in this country with an organisation called Oasis Esteem, and we had the chance to go out somewhere to visit an Oasis project. So I went with five other people who I only met once before we went, and we went to a project in eastern Uganda and we did sexual health lessons, which actually I found incredibly difficult. I really, really struggled because all the others on the team were actually much better at it than me. And I found it really, really hard. Loved Uganda, fell in love with Africa. Thought, well, I've done it now. I'd always wanted to go. I've done it. Come back home. Didn't see that I would really go again. But I was very grateful that I'd been. So actually learn a lot more sort of, I suppose, negative stuff about me. A lot of my old sort of insecurities had come back because I'd found the sort of teaching and stuff really difficult. Anyway, move on. 4 years. January 2012, I had the opportunity to go with a Christian safeguarding organisation called Shine to a place called Nongoma, which is a very little, very out of the way, very forgotten place in South Africa, in Zululand, in KwaZulu-Natal. And I fell in love again with Nongoma. It was Africa. It was actually very different to Uganda. I sort of thought, you know, a lot of Africa was the same, but no, not at all. But I learned a huge amount there. I'm hoping I can say all this. I've actually only got four words written down on my list, which is really good. So if you like, I can just say the four words. I started this morning and read, I've been reading 40 Days with Jesus. I'm way behind, but I'm actually really enjoying it. And there was just a sentence that I read this morning that says, we can be assured that Jesus, the risen one and the creator himself, has all the knowledge and power that we will ever need for anything, for everything. And that just felt, that was good this morning. When we got out to Nongoma, I was expecting doing sexual health education. There were a team of 12 of us that went from Mansfield Baptist Church, well, 10 from Mansfield Baptist Church, someone else from another Baptist church, and me. I was sort of the unknown. But we went out as a team for the what they wanted to do was match our skills to the projects and things that they were working with out there. So when we were asked what we did, what we wanted to do out there, I said I could do sexual health education, although I have to confess there was a big part of me thinking, I don't know that I can do this because of how I'd felt in Uganda. But anyway, that's sort of what I went with, except that I asked a very tiny question, and apologies for those of you that have heard this before, but when I was asked what I wanted to do, I said sexual health, I'd be interested in safeguarding stuff, and I just said, what happens about end-of-life care out there, because you're telling us that this place is sort of the epicentre for HIV and AIDS for the whole of South Africa. So what happens about end-of-life care? I did wonder at the time where the question had come from, because it wasn't really anything to do with anything I'd been thinking about or anything we'd been talking about or any of the projects they did or anything, but I was told there wasn't a lot went on. Anyway, to cut a long story short, when I went out there, my remit was to look into what happened about end-of-life care. On the second night, we arrived quite late the first evening, but on the second evening, we had like a debrief every evening. And on the second one, we were told that we'd all gone out there to do, and that was really good. We'd all got different things we were going to be doing. There were teachers, there were paramedics, there were all sorts of people all going to do different things. And we were going to do, but we were told very definitely that actually the really, really important thing was not the doing, it was the being. And that actually being there and just being was the best that we could do, and that that would make a difference. And I know God had spoken to me several years back about being rather than doing when I wasn't well, but this was something different, and somehow something must have lodged somewhere and gone in, because I got up the next morning, which happened to be my birthday, so I suppose I was feeling a bit special. But we had to walk up through the town. We were going to visit, some of us were going to visit the hospital, and we walked up through the town, and we talked to everybody we met. We had a whole lot of fun because we tried to speak Zulu, so we had caused great hilarity. But actually, something had changed in me. Lucy asked me to speak this morning about something, one thing that God did, and one way that I changed, or something that changed in me. And something had changed, and I suddenly realized that actually being was really important, that being me was okay. By the end of the time there, actually, being me was really good. You know, there isn't anybody else that can be me. You know, and as my daughter pointed out this morning, I actually do it very well. So that was really special, and that sort of set the theme, I suppose, for me for the whole of the time I was out there. Everything I did was somehow about being. I did do some sexual health lessons in the second week, and I was terrified. But you know what? I just was me. And I had a ball, and I had so much fun. And I knew it was because I'd been able to be me. And that made a difference. There are loads and loads of stories of people that we saw where I know we made a difference. I had one lady, when I went back again, but when I went back, one lady whose house I went into to ask some questions about end-of-life care, and she said, do you know, she said, tomorrow I could die, and I could die happy, because today I have a white lady sitting in my house. And she never, ever, it was beyond her imagination, you know? And I hadn't done anything. I just had gone to ask questions. I just was being, and it made a huge difference. I've just put a little note here that I was just sort of came to while we were in the worship, and I just wanted to say, if anybody is ever thinking of going out to do mission, people will say to you, aren't you doing this wrong? wouldn't it be better to send the money? Because, you know, it's costing you 1,500, 2 grand to get yourself out somewhere. Surely it would be much better to send the money. That would be much more use. No, no, no. You need to go. You need to go out there and you need to be, and you will make a huge difference way beyond anything you could imagine. Am I right to say a tiny bit more? No, I'll leave.
That was brilliant, though. That was. Thank you. Now, I hope you've got a flavour from that, and you're going to ask Adrian for some more stories, because you can see she's got lots to say and lots to encourage us all with. Mandy. Mandy looks lovely too, look. It's a bit of a theme with the pink going off. Oh, wrong. Oh, I've got pink shoes and pink nail polish. Oh, Matilda. Mandy's got more words on her paper.
No, I'm going to read it. You told me 2 minutes.
Okay, Mandy, where have you been and how long did you go for?
Well, I've been out to see my son in Africa, of course, but that wasn't really... He is a missionary out there, even though as a church we don't see it as a mission. But I did have the privilege of going to see Lucy and Neil and work with them for 10 days, which was amazing.
Are you talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's a bit
about. Yeah, all right then. So, Mandy, can you tell us something that you saw God doing while you were overseas?
I'm hoping that I've answered that. If it was an exam, I might fail it because I haven't stuck to the question.
Say what you want to say.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you a bit of a rundown. Two books affected my life. Jackie Pullinger, Chasing the Dragon. If you've ever read that one, it's a must. And Keith Green, No Compromise. He wrote the song, Jesus Commands Us to Go. Jackie Pullinger is a missionary in China. Okay, those are books that challenged me, but I've never really thought of being a missionary or going out or doing anything. But having then gone through the challenges of cancer, it challenged me to think about what is my purpose in life, what will I leave behind, what is my legacy, which is in a sense a lot of what Lucy talked about last week about what influence we have. And I was thinking, yeah, well, I've influenced my children, but they are a credit to themselves and not totally down to my great parenting. As I've said already, Sam, though not a missionary in terms of the church, he's a missionary out in Africa, and I've had the privilege to see what he does, and I'm a very proud mum and a proud mum of my other two as well. Looking forward to 2 weeks' time. But the question came, what is it, what do I have, and what can I do? But Jesus commands us to go. So it went, okay, right, Lucy's out in Albania, and I just went, can I go? And Janet is quite good at pushing people in the right direction, because it was a little bit of, okay, I don't do planes, I don't do foreign languages, we haven't really been on a foreign holiday, let alone go out and do any mission. But Neil and Lou were heading up a mission week with people from all over the world, so I didn't just have Albania to deal with, there was also Dutch, yes. Yeah, I couldn't remember all of them. It was also the fact that there was Geordies and Irish as well there, so the English was impossible too. And then Lucy went, Mandy, could you just lead a prayer group? I'm like, yeah, they all speak foreign languages and even the English I can't understand. Yes, of course, Lucy, because you don't refuse what Lucy says.
Now I know that.
It's like, yes, Lucy, I feel like I've gate-crashed this party, and they all took a different language. But in a sense, everybody came with their own passion. They had, you know, we'd all gone out with a heart to see God's going to do amazing things, But the trouble is with that, you go going, I want to see God do this, I want to see God do that. And they all wanted to see God do quite a lot in 10 days. And that lays a lot of frustrations that they weren't seeing what they expected and stuff like that. So it's like trying to gather this little lovely group of people down, all with their cultural differences, which was quite sparky too. But steering them, and I said, right, let's pray. And one of the bright spots says, in what language? I said, let's all pray in our own language. And that was incredible, because it's in a sense, as I sat there listening to this all pray, this is an insight into heaven, that actually you can put all those cultures, all those languages, all those people together, and when you focus on God, you're in heaven. All we have to do is bring ourselves, and it's focusing on him, not on ourselves and what we want to do, but actually what he wants to do through us. The story of the boy on the beach is something that actually affects me a lot, and it's helped me to focus, because if you're not careful, when out in Africa there seems so much, what effect, and as I thought going out to Albania, what can I do? I can't speak another language. I didn't even do French at school because I was not that good. But we can make a difference to that one small starfish, and it's not being overwhelmed by the whole big picture, but focus on the one thing that God sets in front of us. That's our place of influence. That's what we need to do. So I'm then going to move to Africa. And for me, I work with children with disabilities. And having gone out to Africa, I'm not a nurse. I have very little in that side to give to people. And we went to visit in one of the villages, well, little huts down paths, that you can only just get the car down, a child that Sam had seen, who had got cerebral palsy, but because there's very little feeling in his feet, he'd injured his foot, and the danger is that the infection then takes hold and there's the possibility of losing his foot. But Sam had managed to get there and was dealing with that. But that was my moment of giving something of me, because there's a stigma over disability there. And we'd been doing Heaven Sent, and in my bag I had a bag of all the loom band, little band things, and I'd learnt how to make loom bands. So my little bit that I gave to him was sat with him making a loom band. But it was like Heaven Sent in Africa. All the kids everywhere, even mum and dad, were all making loom bands. And that's it. It's just handing over the little bit, the little gifting, the little things that you have. It's taking you.
Thank you.